Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Feed me.
Welcome to the Ryback Show Live. I am the big guy, Ryback. Thank you for joining me. Happy Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Opening up a nice cold strawberry Zevia here to kick off the show. I like to have a couple of these a day most days. Usually at night, having one early today. Streaming live, Instagram and TikTok, the big guy, Ryback 22. Thank you for all the love and support. Really, really close to hitting 3 million over on TikTok account. It looks like it's been restricted for the past week, so we're hoping... I have to send emails constantly and stay on top. They hide my comments promoting my business repeatedly and post. I could just tell when they have it off and I got a message. They won't get back to me, but it'll just be fixed mysteriously within a few days and post will start getting some traction again. So thank you guys for all the love and support. IG been great. IG has been doing a lot better as far as on some of the posts and how many views everything is getting. So that's always really, really cool. Streaming live, Ryback TV over on YouTube. 402,000 subscribers. Thank you very much, guys. That was, we continue to move forward on that. Ryback Rules on Twitch and at Ryback Streaming on Twitter. We leave that up for a few days over there. And this show, this podcast is available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews are greatly, greatly appreciated if you have a moment. This podcast, this show is brought to you by Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors. Vegan friendly for all people to use. men and women over on feedmemore.com. You could save 20% with the discount code RYBACKSHOW20. That's RYBACKSHOW20 to save 20% on the best supplements on the planet and all the new Ryback merch on feedmemore.com. Good to see everybody. Everyone popping in today. We'll see if the numbers come up a little bit as we get going. Thank you, Bade Martin, saying I'm your favorite YouTuber wrestler. I greatly, greatly appreciated that and love making content and just being myself and having fun. It's something, you know, it's one of the things I like to explain this periodically to people. I can't stress this enough. And this is, and I learned this quite a while ago, is we're going to be loved and we're going to be hated, especially in this day and age with everyone being connected on social media. There's billions of people, what, close to 8 billion? That number's going up, going down. We're around 8 billion people. You know, there's going to be people that love us and there's going to be people that hate us, but we may as well just be ourselves. And oftentimes, and I see this all the time and I hate it, but I hear one guy I always hear who does talk, it was Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. I love Gary's mindset on things. And he's one of the ones that preaches the same thing on be yourselves with this. And he'll even say, maybe I lose some followers or I lose some business because I'm myself, because at least I'm happy. And I learned that many, many years ago. I go, that is the exact way to be. And so sometimes people, when I post my entertainment type content, when I'm being funny, and I have it mixed in, there's it's never one thing or another with that. It's because I'm staying true to myself, and laughter is such a big, powerful thing. And I know that if I'm laughing, I know I can make other people laugh by sharing my content, by staying true to myself and not being fake. Cause a lot of people that like want to put out like business type content or advice, they're afraid of being funny. They're afraid of showing their sense of humor. And I go, why? You little be yourself, man. I see it all the time. They're one way behind the scenes. And then they, in front of the camera, they got to try to make their social media all look the same. And like all, you know, I know people that, and I know this girl that tries to like put out, and she does put out great information, but she's a naturally funny person in real life, but she won't show that on her social media because she's afraid that it's going to take away. And I'm just like, man, that sucks that you like, but hey, everyone has their choice on it. But that's my mindset, you know, on stuff. And I always look at it, I go, if people get mad at anything funny that I ever post or think that takes credibility away from anything else, man, that's just your limitations in your mind. I could care less. I'll block you in a heartbeat and keep moving forward and live without you. There's 8 billion people. I'll find the ones that dig it and, you know, don't need to take the time to spread hate and negativity on any of that. And I encourage everyone, I think once you reach that state, it's living in a non-fear state at the end of the day. Because most of the time, two people will say, oh man, you need to grow up. What does that even mean? I'm a grown man. I take care of my family. I pay my bills. I've got my own business. I work for myself. I sleep in without an alarm every day. I'm a grown ass man. What does that mean? Losing your sense of humor, losing the inner child in you? And I just ask you, when people say that kind of stuff, just ask yourself, ask them, what do you mean by that? Because we're laughing and having a good time. That means that we're not being grown up. Please tell me, Jeffrey, living in your mom's basement, what being a grown up means. Please step up to the pedestal here and proclaim to all of us what that means. Hello, hello. All right. I think we got a super chat starting off. Tyler Sugru emptying the bank account early this morning. Good to see you, my man. A Ryback Show regular. Hello, Ryback. You hit the shell shock on a lot of big guys. Do you think you would have been able to shell shock Andre the Giant? I do. And I'm shell shocked. I'll tell you, I think yes, 100% absolutely no difficulties. And I don't know if there's a human alive that I could not shell shock. Now, the issue would come when somebody's severely, now, like, say somebody that's, like, on my 600-pound life or whatever, 700, somebody like that, that is completely, they're not in a mobile state, that in their body is so soft, and, right, height's dependent on how tall, the shorter they are, the harder it could be, because the shorter somebody is, the further down I have to squat down for a good morning leg press or squat slash good morning, which makes that move very difficult at times because it's not just a straight up and down. And I'll tell you, one of the guys, and it was that Fala Ba on an independent show many, many years ago, I wrestled somewhere in Jersey. And it was when my back was at its worst. This was me at the peak of just my body being completely destroyed. My right leg was completely numb. And in my strength, I still was really strong, but I wasn't as strong as I was because I was so hurt. And he is a lot shorter than other bigger guys that are heavy. And so I had to get so low to get him up, and we did it. But I remember we tried it a couple times in the back. And I remember the first couple times I was like, I'm going to have to go all out on this or else we're not going to get up. And luckily we were able to do it during the match. And so the shorter and the bigger that somebody is, the harder it is. Also, body fat, the more essentially body fat that somebody has that is just very soft. You got to remember that body fat squishes into my body as I'm trying to exert force. So I'm exerting force without getting, I'm sinking into them essentially, right? Before we even start physically going up. So I have to make sure I'm driving up with such force on people that have a higher body fat count with that by the time I hit that breaking point of sinking in into the body fat, that we're going up with enough force. It's a crazy thing. It is a real thing, though, on that. But so that's some of the things that would make the move more difficult. And obviously, certain guys are able to kind of jump a little bit better than others, which just helps with the sticking point more than anything. And sometimes guys that can't jump, that can make the move a little more difficult because I could feel the sticking point at the bottom that I just have to use a little more force on. But you'd be shocked. Oftentimes, the bigger guys are the easiest ones to get up. Not in terms of guys smaller than them, but they're not nearly as difficult as what some may think. Because and part of that is a good part of that's their mobility. Yes, I'm well aware of everything going on with WWE and Vince McMahon. We've actually talked about it on other shows here on the Ryback Show. If you look at the archives on the Ryback TV or the podcast platform, you will be able to see. I'm enjoying, I got a bottle of water here and a nice cold strawberry Zevia this morning on the show. I'll do my finish at BCAAs, 10 count creatine and some ribose prior to training. After this, I'll run. I got to actually take a phone call. I got a business call, run the dogs to go grab a coffee and maybe get them a pup cup today. And they're probably going to get excited just hearing that. And then I got a big training session today on top of more shoulder work and more work after all of that. I usually go all the way up until the night, just constantly working on stuff, looking for things, and just with Feed Me More Nutrition. It's constantly, literally, I'm always doing something. Even when I'm training, I'm looking and doing things and I try to take breaks throughout it because it is – it's when you have your own business and you have people that do work for you, and it's constantly your time is just spent managing everything. And if you let things go, it could add up really quickly. And I always try to just stay on top of everything as it comes, just so. And then I always have my little relaxation. I pop my GTS and some Haritaki capsules, which is like a third. It's for the pineal gland, but it really, really mellows you with the GTS. Go to sleep. I'll take that an hour before I'm ready to go to bed. I'll go sit outside for about 20, 30 minutes with the dogs. I'll usually sip on a Zevia and a bottle of water at night out by the fire pit, just relax by the pool. And I could feel it kind of kicking in. And I'm telling you, by that, I get ready. I'll do a quick little round, usually on the shoulder, and I could feel it just kicking in more and more. And then I lie in bed and I'm out. Pretty quickly. I'll usually go over a few things I'm thankful for, kind of just really put myself in a nice mental state, and I'm out. And then up early, usually 5 a.m. or around that time, give or take. I slept in a little later till 5:30 today. Real piece of trash. But I don't use the alarm, so I just woke up. I went a little over 8 hours, which I go, my body must have needed it, which probably because I only got close to 7 the night before. So it's crazy how the body, when you don't use an alarm clock, will balance itself out on its own with that, which is the most peaceful sleep in the world. I never got to experience it like this. You know, when you're a kid, maybe and out of school and you're not working yet, you get to experience it at times in the summer, right? And whatnot. Some don't even with that. But, you know, to be an adult and be able to go to bed when you want to go to bed, and I go to bed early and I get up super early with no alarm. It is, I tell you, you want to talk about peaceful. It is the most peaceful thing in the world. And I'm very grateful for that because I lived off alarm clocks my whole life. And those WWE alarm clock schedules are pure hell. Did I miss another? Let's see here. Thank you, Pharaoh, for saying, thank you for being a positive influence and inspiring me to start my own business. Congratulations. And it's a learning process that never ends. And you just got to stay hungry and go one day at a time and constantly try to learn and improve. And I'm truly grateful to own a business on something that I love and that process helped people and help people change their mindsets and lives for the better, I truly believe. And it's a very powerful thing. It's cool. I always looked at, because I remember when I was younger too, and I remember certain things that motivated me to like want to work out or be better. And I always remember that. And it's crazy because I'll meet like a lot of people and people tell me like younger, a lot of like young teenage boys, people that in high school and different, they'll tell me, thank you for my childhood, man, you're the reason why I started working out. And I go, that's pretty cool because I 100% understand that because I remember that's how, when I was a kid, who I looked at, you know, went for that. And I go, I really like that. I said, I like being the reason why somebody works out. Like I dig it. Like that's a great compliment to me because I know how much that's meant to me and given me so much and kept me intact with all the negativity and things that have gone on. Training is the one thing that really holds things together for so many people. So to get somebody motivated into that, to what I love and that world, that passion, and it connects to everything else in life that we do. So to me, that's a really cool thing. And I'm happy that you're starting your own business and I wish you much, much success. It doesn't always come instantly. So patience and just enjoy the process and the day-to-day journey. Thank you, Korea, for loving my mukbang. I do drink tea as well. I have some mint tea. I'll occasionally do some matcha green tea. What's the other one? I have a few of them there that I'll just occasionally we'll do a tea. On days that I fast, I like to drink tea quite a bit. The non-calorie, oftentimes caffeine-free tea. The matcha might be the only thing that has a little bit of the natural caffeine from the matcha. Red Devil, I'm actually reading a really good book right now. And it's cyber something. It's about online and how it's called Online Dissonance, I believe. Is it Dissonance? Online Dissonance. I believe it's Online Dissonance is the word. I may be messing up. I got to look it back up. But it talks about where people act a one way online because a lot of people, they feel they could be anonymous. Or even if they're not anonymous, they don't feel it like there's a threat. Like they're not as they do not act the same essentially as they would in person. And we see that. I made a post yesterday on my Instagram and Twitter where it was a group of three guys, young guys, came up to me at the gym last week. On this particular day, I probably took 10 photos in the gym of people coming over, and because I've been going to different gyms, and when I go to newer gyms or different gyms, people that recognize me, it's not the gym that I kind of go to or staying at home, right? And these three came over. I didn't know, they didn't say anything about wrestling or like sometimes the chip video, right? And it could be a combination, but usually it's from wrestling with that. And then there was one guy that just said, man, I just follow you on TikTok. I love your TikToks. And I don't know if he knew me from wrestling or not, but these three in particular, they were very nice. They came over when I was actually doing traps, I believe, on the Smith machine. I just trained chest and they just asked, they go, can we have a picture? I go, absolutely. And we take a picture together and say, thank you. Nice to meet you guys. And they go about their way. And I go back to my workout. And then yesterday I'm on Instagram and I accidentally slid. I don't know on the, like, I don't ever check, but I'm going to start doing this because it was so funny. I accidentally slid my phone on my page where it went to like my name Ryback or whatever, people that post something that maybe tag me. And it was one of the top ones on my thing. I go, hey, I like when I find pictures like that I don't have, because then I like to save them. Just, I like to, usually most of the time. Like, oh, that's, I remember I just took that last week. And I click on it and I go, oh, that's the one of the guys. And on his post, and it was only a couple comments. And he just goes, he said something that, I don't know what he had. It was very simple. And somebody on the comments went, oh, you met the chip guy? And he goes, no, he met me 100. And I just smiled because I go, I don't remember going over. His name is Chris. I don't remember going over to Chris and asking for a photo in the middle of his workout. In fact, I remember those three coming over, actually a little bit nervous, shaking a little bit perhaps when they, because you could feel when you take pictures, you could feel people's bodies kind of trembling. And it always makes me smile internally. I go, that's a pretty cool feeling. And I go, that's not what happened. So I just simply said, Chris, I see everything. You met me. And then I posted it on my page so people could see how people will act one way and then go online, right? Because in his mind, he's never going to see this photo. I'm never going to see it, right? But just sure enough, it accidentally, and where I go, what a crazy thing. But I was like, and he may not have even, you know, he may have just known me as the chip guy. Maybe two of his friends knew me. Maybe he didn't with it. I don't know. But he wanted to be in on the picture, and he surely posted it, right? So I was just like, that's not what happened, Chris. Let's be honest now. But I believe it's online social dissonance or online dissonance is where people act one way online and then another way in person. Hello, hello. If Vince called you back tomorrow to work behind the scenes, would you go? No. My settlement needs to be taken care of. And even then, I'm not going back into that environment unless there'd have to be major changes, which they are going to be happening. So I'm just going to sit back with my popcorn, my chips, if you will, and let everything play out the way that I believe it's going to play out. Time is on my side. I'm not old. I'm in the best shape. I'm like healthier than I've ever been. Time is on my side. Time is not on his side. And I'm going to super chat Tyler coming in hot again. Thank you, Tyler Shugru. Just started following you on Instagram. Going to go follow you on TikTok as well. Love your content. Thank you, Tyler. We are slowly approaching 3 million now. TikTok has been a little bit, we're just under 1,000 in here right now on the live. I'm hoping they get it going where it's been over a week since I've had posts in the millions, and usually I get multiple posts in the millions every week on there. And I could tell when videos get slowed down because they'll start off hot and then they instantly just stop. And I go, wait a minute, that's a video that I know would go into the millions. I got a pretty good gauge. Like I'm pretty under good understanding. And when a video stops at like 20, 30,000 and then just stops, I go, that's odd. That, especially for nearly 3 million, the numbers need to be up. So hopefully, TikTok gets the account straightened up again and stops hiding my business. Why would you hide somebody's business? Oh, I know why. When you work with WWE illegally in a corrupt manner to try to restrict somebody. That's why, TikTok. That's why. YouTube does it as well. YouTube is horrible as well. And I'm not going to shy away from it because I know what's going on. You could order Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com. We ship worldwide. We have a flat rate priority shipping worldwide, $34.99, $19.99 to Canada. Let's see here. Hello, hello. I do want to say, too, hold on. Let me see here. Mike says, ironically, I could see WWE wanting you back now or in the near future. Everything will always work out. I just sit back and smile. For anybody that all the lies that are put out and people that think that, like, you got to understand that company knows what they've done to me. They know the restrictions that they've put on me. They've seen me still have more followers than all their other people on their roster right there. And they can't stop me. And as much as they're trying, they can't stop me with it. And karma is, everything is working out the way that it is supposed to work out. I've got to prove in my mindset to you guys day in and day out. And I know what I am fully capable of. I know how much money I could make. I know how believable I am. I know the energy that I bring, and I am not shy about it. I know my value. I know exactly what I bring. I know what I can do. I know things that I don't do, whatever. But I know how to get over. And they know that I know how to get over. And I prove it time and time again. So I don't need to be, I'm the most down-to-earth person, but like when it comes to business and all this and the things that they have done, I just sit back. And like the other, you want to know what the best part about all of it is? I don't care about my legacy. I don't care about what people think about me with wrestling. I know that I've literally done it at the highest level and succeeded. I know I could play any role ever asked of me without a shadow of a doubt. So I could care less about people, the lies that people, I've survived all the worst stuff in the world already. And I'm better for it with it. So like I could just sit back and like, it's all going to work out the way it's going to work out. And I'm happy. I'm happy. And that drives people crazy that when you're happy, it drives them nuts. And I'm happy and I've got peace. And so I don't have to make any dumb decisions that I don't need to make. Things are going to work out the way they're supposed to work out. And I just keep taking care of business. And then the haters and the people will change their argument to something else. That's all that they do. And I'll just keep on being great and keep on doing me and keep on being successful and hashtag hungry. Blasting Ground says, hey, Ryback, ordered some of the Big Guy. Never tried anything similar, but I'm a fan of yours. 1, 2, 3. So I'm going to assume this is what my girlfriend wants. I believe you're going to be very happy with the Big Guy male performance formula, natural testosterone / libido booster. All I got to say is go look at the reviews on Amazon. Look at the people that are actually posting their blood test results and showing in the people. I'm telling you, it is outside of, you'll have some haters that are like, Ryback sucks. You could clearly see it is, the product is rated extremely well and in majority 5 stars, just like all the Feed Me More Nutrition line, because the products work with it. So I think you and your girlfriend are going to be very, very satisfied with the purchase. And I thank you. Hello, hello. But I am Bruce. And so speaking of WWE, in more news, Bruce Pritchard has replaced John Laurinaitis, which I believe I just mentioned last week. They're going to do this in pieces. And I'm telling you, there's going to be more that I believe they're going to do as more and more NDAs are discovered on, because they have NDAs for so many people that are in key positions there right now. Okay. And that if they truly do investigate, like, and this all is dependent on if they do a thorough, true investigation, which everything that I'm seeing leads me to believe that it would be, and Vince is stepping down. Vince has stepped down because he knows the other things that they're going to find. And so it's not going to be as shocking that he's not in the CEO position when he has to then maybe leave creative or they're forced to sell the company. I think that it's going to be dependent on just how deep they go. But there's NDAs dating back. Oh, I mean, they're going to find a lot since they've been a publicly traded company on it. And it's going to, there's a lot of shady stuff in there. And I can tell you, based off the things, if they go in through their emails, I hope they go through their emails and they're forced to turn over computers and conversations, because it's going to then show everything that I've said is going to come out and everyone, and I don't have to do anything anymore. And I could just keep just saying, look, I told you, I told you, because I know already, and I'm not playing that dumb game, and they've gone out of their way to try to ruin my life. Not going to happen. Now we finish it. And I think it's going to come. They're going to have stuff. I'm sure there's NDAs with Stephanie. I'm sure there's NDAs with Hunter. I know there is with Hunter already. They're going to find stuff. There's NDAs with Cena. They're going to find stuff on certain things, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not. So, but we'll see. And we'll see what happens with all of that. But Bruce, I never worked with Bruce or for him. We follow each other on Twitter. And I always enjoyed his podcast with Conrad. I haven't listened to it in some time, but when I did, I always enjoyed the stories and whatnot. And I don't know his involvement in anything, but I won't be shocked to see several, if not more, switches being made at an executive level up there. Kevin Dunn is another one. And then there's a bunch of names we don't even know that are probably involved. But Vince and the top executives, it's very telling because Vince stepping down is something that an innocent man would not do. Johnny, and then like Johnny being sent home until that's not something they do with an innocent person. They go, that's because they know that they're going to find so many other things that these people are out of the positions already that they don't then. It's not that the story doesn't have the blow on the company. Like the stock is already starting to go down, trickle down, right, with this. And it's being done to try to like stop like a sudden, huge, massive drop with like five positions changing at once. And that's why I'm telling you, they're going to do this in layers. It's been not even a week to the date of the story came out. And just look at all the changes that have been made already. And that's in a week. And it seems like it's already been longer than I go. There's going to be more. And then there might even be stuff they try to do quietly in all of this as well. So. But I'll just sit back. They have our settlement that they had proposed and we had revised. It's gone back and forth multiple times. And I'm waiting. And I'm going through with my trial for the Ryback trademark. We're going to win it. They don't want me to win it. And they're going to, at some point, they're going to have to meet me at my terms or let me win the trademark, which they don't want to let me win the trademark with that because it publicly looks very bad for them with that. And Vince does not like to publicly lose. And I don't care if I publicly lose. Because I already can use the name wrestling. This was my whole point of doing this to begin with. And it cost me a lot of money, but it is, I know what I'm playing up against and I know who I'm playing against. And I know everything that I've done from day one and why I'm doing it. And I don't need everyone to understand. I know why. And I'll be the one, I will be the victor at the end. super chat. Wait, nope. That was the one we just did. Sorry. There's the new one. What's up? Thank you for the super chat. Hey, Ryback, is there any plans you comes overseas to Europe, Germany, for some meet and greet or something like that? Would it be really nice to meet you? I have no plans on doing any meet and greets at this moment or traveling internationally. And quite frankly, nor do I want to. If I never had to leave the United States for the rest of my life, I would be completely okay with that. And that's, I've been to Germany multiple times. I love being to other places, but I don't like traveling. I don't like the plane rides. I like being on the ground as much as possible. I love being home as much as possible. And, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if I could just wrestle for the rest of my career under the circumstances that I want in the United States, that's what I would do with it. And it's not to say I wouldn't want to go other places. I've wrestled all around the world already. I just like being home and I like not flying as much as possible. And, you know, but not to say that doesn't mean that I'll never be there again. I'm just saying like if I had it my way, I would just stay home as much as possible. But I wrestled in Germany and I did one, an independent show there. It was either year one or year two after I left WWE. I think it might have been, it was when I just started my stem cell procedures, actually. I remember, and because I couldn't wrestle, and I'd already wrestled. So maybe that was year two that started. And it was a very, really, really cool people on an independent show over there. I had a really good time with all, but I was just really, really hurt. But it was nice meeting everybody. But I look back at all that, and it's, you know, I'm grateful, too. I've got to travel the world and do things, but to me, I like just being home. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about going sightseeing. I don't, not that it's bad, not that I wouldn't enjoy it, but I just like just being home. I don't know. That's just who I am. And I try to just stay true to myself as much as possible. I'm also going to touch on, let me see if there's a question. But yeah, Vegas is, it's overcast in Vegas today. I'm hoping we get a bunch of rain. We need it. We need it more than Lake Mead continues to get less and less. But I do believe that they're going to start taking some action here and get the water level back up here. I do believe that is going to happen. I'm very optimistic on it, actually. Big Mike TV, thank you for the super chat. Feed me more. What's good? Just another day in paradise, brother. And getting ready to go training a little bit after all this. Got to do some business, take a phone call, and take the dogs out. Take them for their daily, 4 or 5 days a week. Take them out to Starbucks, and all the girls at Starbucks love them. Big guys over huge with the dogs. You want to be over with people. Take your dogs when you got little Frenchies and Bostons. Just dogs in general. Just take your dogs around you. Go to a public place. The women are, oh my God. Oh, what a sweetheart. And we wouldn't think you had dogs like that. And you just say, yeah, I love animals. yeah, I like taking them out. They now look forward. I told you guys, get the pup cup for them once a week. And I got it for them twice last week. Now they want it every day. They are addicted to the sugar. But I usually will just get one and split it with them. And once we get home, and I'll like feed it to the little guy can lick out of the cup. Sophie, I have to hand feed her. And then I got to clean the damn whipped cream off the sidewalk outside because it leaves white marks all over it. And the dogs, they get it all over their faces and got to clean them up afterwards. But it makes me happy to see they love that stuff. So although that, I will say we're going to go ahead and throw a shell shock. You want me to say hello to who? I can't read the name. Say hello. Oh, say hello, Ali. But you've already been blocked, so you didn't hear me say that. So don't spam the chat, guys. You can, you know, you say one, and I'll probably go, hey, what's up, Ali? But you leave it, you know, 5, 6, 7, 20 times. You're going to get shell-shocked out of Rybackville every time. I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking you to be a decent human being and not spam a show that's built around the chat. This show is built and functions around the chat. Let's see. Oh, this is Orbitary. Thank you for the super chat. So apparently it was Paul Heyman who started the rumor of you and Brock getting into a fight. Did you enjoy your time having him as your manager? Orbitary, where did you hear that? If that is, I'm interested in knowing where did you hear that from on that, or where did you read it from? I suspected it was him or Punk that had put that out because I can't remember the timing or one of the other shady peoples in that company at the time with all of that. But I just remember, again, and I just give you facts. It was me and it was me versus Donnie Marlowe with Hunico, I believe, out there. And it was the first match that Ryback was going to be taken off his feet, right? And it was on a pay-per-view, and Donnie Marlowe gave me a forearm to the face. And this is this was a rehearsal with the producer because they wanted it to look good because it was the first time as Ryback was going to get knocked off my feet since coming there and destroying multiple people and facing some of the WWE roster and nobody taking me off my feet. Right. And so it was, and they were going to put it over on commentary. And Donnie Marlowe, and then I said, man, lay into me on that. But I didn't really want him to like put his forearm right into my eye socket. Unfortunately, things happen and it looked like $1 million out there, right? But it busted my eye. My eye was all bloodshot with it, but it looked badass. When I'd come out the next night and then when I do the, would put my head up and go more and then wake up, it's feeding time deal. But when I just look up with my eyes and they zoom in on my face, my eye looked like that Terminator blood, just like cyber organism eye, right? The Terminator eye, which I was, that was the origins of the Ryback character for me. So I dug it. And then I remember like later seeing like I didn't even remember it. I didn't know anything about this at the time. And it was later that it was, I remember something that Brock Lesnar and me got into a fight and Brock beat me up. And I just remember thinking, wait, when did that happen? I remember Brock and me like talking quite a bit and Brock using my bands and us getting along. But I don't remember when that fight happened on that. And that's when I remember, I just thinking, I go, man, people just put out lies. And like, I didn't understand, because I stayed away from like the dirt sheet stuff. And I didn't know, like, so I had no idea who that Smeltzer and Alcatraz guy, never had heard of them my entire life. Being in wrestling up to that point, no idea who those guys were. And I just remember, who's like putting out these fake stories? I'm like, and why? Why would you put that out? But now everything I've explained to you guys, and right. But and again, if that was truly Paul, I would ask, what would be the motive for putting that out for him? Is it to set up a Brock and Ryback storyline? Never once was proposed. Never once did Paul come up and said, man, I really think you and Brock would be do good business together. But you know what? If you're going to do that, don't you think if that was truly something he did, which I don't put it, I 100% believe that he would do that based off our things I know about him and in our interactions, is why don't you come up to the guy and go, hey, I'm thinking about maybe leaking something out to make it look like there's an issue with you and Brock and maybe set something up. And by the way, that would be something I'd go, no, you're not leaking that out because that didn't happen. How does that benefit me at all? That makes me look bad, if anything, because it makes it look like, by the article that was out, it made it look like I was in the wrong on right? And I just look, I go, look at the things that came out and how it still did not stop my momentum. On that would have killed the push of a lot of guys. Like, crowd could have turned. Not once did anyone, because I don't think the majority of people would even believe it, but the ones that it was put out for, I appeal to the mass casual people and regular people too that don't even read that stuff, right? So it's like people at home watching with that, and then you have the online people that are right. So, but it wouldn't shock me if he was the one. I just don't understand what the reasoning would be outside of just to try to make me look bad. But a lie. And that just makes you say, what else does he lie about, right? And like I said, working with him, never wanted to. I was doing the bullying gimmick. It was getting over. They pulled me out of that to get 2 pay-per-views with Punk, I believe. I believe it was 2 more pay-per-views with Punk. 1 or 2. Because Curtis Axel with Heyman had run its course a little quicker than I think that they expected. And Paul needed somebody for like 2 more months or something. Or 2 or 3 more months. And that's why you saw it suddenly. And Paul and him and Punk did a real number behind the scenes at this point with a lot of lies that I was unaware of. But this was the point I remember, and I've told this story. This was the point I had no idea that people like would go to Vince, and like I had never once in a million years ever thought about going into Vince's office and talking bad about somebody. I just never. I'm not that type of like I just couldn't imagine going and doing that. And Punk and Heyman were I guess doing this quite a bit during this period when Paul was supposed to be with me, right? It wasn't. It was all. This was putting the nail, along with what everything else going on. And I remember Vince, I saw him in the UK and I had to go talk to him. And Paul and Punk walk by in the hallway and say something. And I don't know if they said good luck or there was something. And I just remember thinking like, what the hell is going on? And I go into Vince's office and Vince was really, really upset, and he'd always been very, up to this point, we always had good conversations. We usually always did. But he goes, I don't know what to do with you. And I go, what do you mean you don't know what to do with me? And he goes, I don't know if I have to send you back to NXT. And I said, why would you send me back to NXT? And he goes, I don't know. Like, it was the oddest conversation I've ever had. Little did I know, Punk and them were just burying me in here. And I just looked at him. I go, well, send me back to NXT. I go, I don't give a shit. And he looks, literally stops and just, he just puts his head down and he doesn't know what to say. I'm just sitting there. I don't care. And he goes, well, I don't want to do that. And I go, well, don't talk stupid then. And then that was it. And we moved on to something else with that. But that's like, I wish he never would say the things that other people were saying. And then I could have just said, no, those are all lies. And this is why these are lies, right? But that it's all a product of his world that he's created with these scumbags and people that work there and the things that they do. So it's just like Punk telling the Shield guys with this that I was a bad person and that I was going to try to take advantage of them prior to us working. And like Ambrose has told this story and like Ambrose like going like, no, he's actually really nice and good and like doesn't even remotely try. And we all got along great. But that was just him just trying to stir the pot. And that's because he's the guy with all the insecurities and all these issues that so many people just don't, I just laugh at. But I call him out on all the time because I know what he is and who he is. And he's nothing that he tries to portray, not even close. And he showed that. He's shown that multiple times now. And more people are becoming aware of it. But I'll never back down or change my word on it because I already know the truth. All right, Life of Daz, good to see you, my man. Just showing some good vibes, buddy. Hope all is good. All is well in Rybackville, Daz. I hope you are doing well, my man. And everything is all smooth jazz in the land of Daz. Let's see here. Here's a good comment. This was something I wanted to talk about. Thoughts on body shaming in wrestling after Booker T's comments on Adam Cole's weight. So I just talked about this in my Feed Me More Nutrition newsletter today. Booker's pro WWE. Booker's come out and said he's paid by WWE. He's very pro WWE. He won't give his full honest takes on things going on with WWE, but he seems to be a little more vocal on things outside of the company, right? I think everyone can agree on that. And I'll say this, and Booker, with the comments he's made, and I have him blocked on everything. He's on the same shit list as Mark Henry to me with that. And both guys that were paid by WWE to say bad things. But in this case, I've heard part of it. And he's talked very positively about Adam Cole. What I heard was a guy give advice to a guy being used in a main event or like a top position that adding more weight. And I believe I heard him even preface it saying, I don't know if he's injured or he is injured, but I heard him, a guy who is like I grew up liking in wrestling. And I still to this day, despite the things he said, I like him as a wrestler. I respect him as a wrestler with that. And he does give good advice on things, I believe, as far as that goes. And I could distinguish my personal feelings on that and step back and go, no, he does speak very, like he's a guy you should listen to when it comes to wrestling on a lot of things, or at least be open to at least hear it. What I heard was a guy give advice to a guy who is playing a role in it in who beat a guy twice his size that you might need to add a little more muscle, put a little more size on your physique, which I have talked about this in pro wrestling. And I could tell the way Booker talks, it's the same philosophy and things that you want to look the part as much as possible for the role that you were playing. So again, now if he was being in a role on 205 Live or whatever, right, he fits that role pretty well with that, with whatever he weighs. And I have no issues with guys looking different. I talk about this as long as you work hard and you're able to go out there and be believable. But I do believe if like you were, it's the illusion of a real fight that you take that training mindset and apply it to pro wrestling, that it's just a pride thing, a self-respect thing. It's making it easier for people to suspend their disbelief a little better. Right. And in this, so it's physical acting. And I've told you, I'll use this example again. You do not cast the role of the Terminator to a 3 or 4 foot person who is either really skinny or really overweight to play that, right? Will people go watch the movie? People will go watch the movie, but will it do box office numbers that like, will it break records doing that? Probably not. Why? Now, why? Ask yourself. The reason why is people will not be able to suspend their disbelief while watching the movie that is a believable role that guy is playing in. Pro wrestling is no different. And what I believe Booker T was doing was simply offering advice or a suggestion that if you wanted to try, and he likes him, he's talked great about him many times, that if you could pack on a little more weight on your physique and the role that you were currently playing, it will help the product overall. It will help get more people watching the product. It will help numbers go up, right? And again, I don't believe the word body shaming came from clickbait headlines and people that do this and take things, and they took a clip of him talking about his weight with that, and not, you don't put anything else positive. You take that clip of him suggesting that he needs to put on more muscle, right, with it, and then you put Booker T body shames Adam Cole, says he's too skinny or whatever it is, and like, then people then don't go and listen to things, and I've had this done against me many times. They don't listen to the full context. They don't sometimes take the sarcasm aspect of things. They don't listen to something in its entirety, and they react based off of what that headline is meant to elicit, an emotion, usually negative emotion out of people. They get really angry. They then go attack. And then what other people do? Other people see the people attacking on Twitter, and then the thing trending, and then they jump in on the attack. Before you know it, you're so far gone from what was actually suggested or advice from somebody who is considered a wrestling legend, a Hall of Famer, right? Say on how this guy could improve. And you have to have common sense and just logic looking at this. I could take my personal feelings aside and go, he was wrongfully attacked in this, on that. And then you have wrestling personalities and people, everyone hopping on that body shaming thing on that. And I don't think that's what he was doing personally on any of that. Now, does it happen? Fans do it all the time to people. I've been attacked my whole career for steroids, right? Body shame. So here's the thing. People are going to attack you for being in too good a shape. People are going to attack you for being overweight. People are going to attack you for being skinny. With that, from the fans, we see it. We saw Jericho get attacked for when his body, because he wasn't as lean, even though I thought he was still in great shape, but he maybe put on a little bit of weight, God forbid, after wrestling for 30 years, right? And then what does he do? He gets in phenomenal shape really quickly again. But then people, what do? They accuse him of using drugs. And so there's a never-ending cycle of those people that are unhappy and attacking people that will just change their argument and attack. I don't think Booker T, from what I heard, did not sound like he was like one of those fans attacking him, but he was giving advice. And again, it comes into the role that you were playing, you know, and I understand, and I've seen a lot of people, they saw the Adam Cole Samoa Joe match, and they go, they were not able to suspend their disbelief and believe that a guy over half his size was able to defeat Samoa Joe. And I can understand that. And a lot of people, the outsiders that see that, that is how they think. And it is, there's a reason why they have weight divisions in fighting. And it's not to say that every once in a blue moon, somebody of a smaller stature can't have an upset of a lifetime over someone, because it has happened, but not to such huge degrees, right? And I said, if anybody in the world thinks Conor McGregor is going to go in there and knock out Francis Ngannou, you have another thing coming. There's a reason why they have weight divisions, right? With it. And I think pro wrestling, the closer that you can cast talent in the right roles and keep things as close as possible, and then you could bend the rules here and there, but you never want it to be too drastic. And I just simply believe Booker was just offering him friendly advice. Now you could argue, and you can go, well, couldn't Booker just pick up the phone and text him and say, yeah, but that, unfortunately, in this day and age where we all live, people give suggestions publicly on it. But I don't think it was malicious in any way with it. Like, I just, from what I heard, and it just did not seem malicious. And he's been very pro Adam Cole throughout his career from other things I've heard. So, but with that, I think a lot of the fans body shame, or the negative marks, if you will, with that. I think they're the ones. But my thing is here at the end of the day, man, people are going to say what they're going to say. Block, smash, keep moving forward. When I see like the other personalities and like Renee, I see Renee like speak up, and like Renee gives her opinions on everything all the time, right? It'd be really easy to take some things that she says and really blow those up if you want, right? And it's like, you got to have some common sense and look back and go, wait, maybe he was taken out of context a little bit and clickbaited, in which he came out and said, and he was with it. And then, but he's allowed to give a suggestion on it, because it is a real thing that is a guy that is being used in a role to beat heavier guys, that look, if you put on a little more weight, you're going to help be more believable in the role that you're playing. And I see nothing wrong with that. And I don't see body shaming going on with that. Right? Like I've said, I've dealt with people telling me I'm on drugs and steroids my whole career. And I laugh. I go, if you only knew how hard I work and the genetics I have and the work that I put in and how I work so hard not to be that. But what do? Block, smash, keep going forward. People are going to think what they're going to think because it's a loser mentality. They change their argument daily. They hate one thing. The next day, they're on the other side of something. And it's just to distract themselves, to block themselves out from their life of misery. And that's what my thing is, don't ever get caught up in their world because you'll be miserable just like them. So that's my thoughts on it. I don't see that going on, like as far as from what Booker had said with that. And you got to have some common sense and logic and take a step back and go back and look and say, go listen and go, I think he was just given a suggestion. And then, if you don't agree with it, you just don't listen to it. You move on. Right. It's not that the guy, then you don't go, oh, we're going to try to cancel him and this and that and this, make up things to try to make it worse. No, block, he'll die down in 2-3 days, 4 days, 5 at the latest, and you guys will be mad at something else. It happens all the time, right? Happens all the time. Hello, hello, Tyler Shagru again. If your catchphrase is feed me more, if Boogeyman shoved a handful of worms in your mouth, would you still want to be fed more? That is one situation where I probably, would not want to be. And obviously, feed me more can be used in many different ways, one with food. But obviously, for me, it's want more out of life. And it could be competition when used in wrestling terms. It could be used in different settings with that. I don't know if that is something, would it make a great segment, with something and Ryback and Boogeyman in the ring and Ryback screaming, feed me more. Hey, what if the segment was Ryback's in the ring and doing the feed me more, then the lights go out and the Boogeyman's music hits and he comes out and offers me a handful of worms as a gesture of feeding me more. Do I think that could be a really, really entertaining segment? I do with it. Do I want to particularly do that and then eat a handful of worms with the Boogeyman and have that image living around and women seeing that and go, ew, I don't want to kiss that guy. He's had a mouthful of worms. Probably not. Probably not. Nor do I want like PETA and all the organizations for killing the worms on TV. No, I don't want that smoke, guys. I don't want that smoke. We've shell-shocked Ali. Ali has been hit with a double shell shock out of Rybackville. It amazes me how many YouTube accounts some people make. Like Ali, like literally just knows he's going to get blocked by people. So he has probably 5 accounts ready to go at all times. Let's see here. Body shaming has existed. My thing is you got to strengthen your mind. And this is where I talk about, you got to have that hungry mindset. People will never be able to control. Do you think you're going to stop people, billions of people, from thinking and doing what they want to do? Right? Yeah. We want everyone to have a positive, loving mindset. It's not realistic that everyone's going to have a positive, loving mindset. It wasn't realistic when the human civilization first started. How's it going to be possible with 8 billion plus people? Now, can we preach it and we want people to be it? Yeah, and we can encourage it. But what we need to ultimately do is strengthen ourselves so that we can just block, smash, and keep moving forward. You're never going to change the tune, like I said, of how people act and what they do. And like I said, fans are by far, quote unquote, the fans, negative marks. The ones that are hateful, they are by far the worst on all that stuff. And my thing is just block them and keep moving on. We've talked about the AEW Forbidden Door thing. I don't watch a lot of that, the other products on that, but I understand business-wise they're doing something different, and I'll never knock anything like that. And we'll see what the numbers do. As long as from a business decision and they do good business and hopefully they're profitable with the pay-per-view coming up and everything. And there's, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's something different though. Right. And I think that's good to give fans something different just from what the norm is. Let's see. Tyler, emptying out the bank account further. Thank you, Tyler Sugru. Do you think Nexus would have been able to attack Brock Lesnar, or would he have sent you all to Suplex City? That's a good question, Tyler. I think the way that Nexus was being built was, though, that when we had our numbers, that there was nobody that could stop us, right? When we were in the full numbers game. So, and we were protected pretty well up until the SummerSlam match. So it depends. Is the Brock Lesnar pre or post SummerSlam? And then, you know, I got hurt shortly thereafter and was gone. And the group, I felt a great sense of responsibility letting people down on that after the ankle break and injury on that. Cause I was supposed to be the big, big tough one, right? With that, and then things kind of, Darren Young got kicked out prior to that, and things just kind of fell apart from there with it. But I do believe Nexus, like I said, we left our mark, and I believe if a Nexus return ever was to happen, that it would be a very big, big thing, because fans remember it, and it left such a memorable impact on the business, I believe, for a debut. And that initial run that we had was pretty damn hot. But I think we lay out the Brock Lesnar, the beast incarnate, and then he would suplex City it individually. Alpine G Hall, can you say hi to my friend's dog named Rat? Hello, dog's friend named Rat. I hope you're doing well. Ali going for the triple shell shock here in Rybackville. Ali is out of Rybackville once again with his third account. Ali, I think it would just be better just to come in and enjoy the show rather than wanting me to say hi to you. But hey, it's your accounts. Do what you want. Yeah, I did. I've talked about the sodium content in most foods. Now I'm wondering why I'm obese since I almost always eat junk food. Yeah, so sodium is a really tricky thing. We do need a good amount of sodium still, but it depends also, like if you have high blood pressure, genetics play a role, but it depends how much you work out, how much you sweat, and you gotta, my thing is to, in like when you're trying to cut water, it's good to drop your sodium levels down to get rid of excess body water in particular, especially if you got a photo shoot or a bodybuilding competition, something, and it's not something you do long-term though, right? It's very short-term with that, but regular everyday day-to-day life on top of that, like, so if, like, if you're somebody and you're trying to lose 10, 15 pounds going into a wedding, you hear that all the time with women or men, different men that want to look a little better for photos coming up, right? You start cutting your calories, you exercise more. But what you do is you want to try to cut your sodium down. And what that's going to do is help drop excess water in your body, which is going to lower the scale, but it's going to drop water out from under the skin. It can make, if you're not in shape already though, it's just essentially going to be just weight loss. But like if you already have muscular definition and you're just holding water, you'll become more vascular. You'll see really cool differences in your body doing this with that. But a lot of the junk food and the eating out, processed food from the store, a lot of like the prepped foods, canned foods that aren't low sodium, and fast food and eating out in restaurants, the sodium content is so high that now if you're an athlete and you're training and you're doing the sauna and you go out and eat, that's not a big deal. You probably need it, to be honest. And not to say you need it that much, but it the impact of it is not, is very negligible because of how much you're sweating, how much sodium you're losing throughout the day. But if you're someone that's not, you eat out 2, 3, 4 times a day, you're getting so much extra sodium, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times the amount you even need, if not more than that. So it's crazy. And that's where you see a lot of the health complications with people with that. And you, by simply eating at home more, and another thing you could do is adding potassium to your meals, balances out the sodium as well with that. So on days on certain things, I'll put potassium in my meals as well. And it's kind of got it down to a science on eyeballing it and then going by my blood pressure. And I could tell when my blood pressure gets really low and good that I go, I'm on really doing things right. And like, so I'm very consistent with my diet on that. But even like traveling and stuff too. Now, like if I ever would go anywhere, I'll take the potassium. You could buy like a 3-pack in the store or whatever on Amazon, or just go buy them in the store individually. Take one of them on the road with you and just keep it on you to sprinkle if you have to eat out a little more. And that's one way to naturally combat sodium from eating out in from fast food and restaurants, by adding potassium to your meals that way with it. But ideally you want to be cooking at home and making food at home more, eating foods closer to their original source is as far away from being processed as possible. Now we're human. Are we going to do that? Yes. And the key is balancing that out as much as possible. But I could tell, like that day, I'll tell you, like when I had this week's Ryback feeding time with the Juan's Flaming Fajitas in Cantina, I could tell that the sodium they had in that, and I actually added potassium salt the day I did my video because I had it for my father, for Father's Day, I got a bunch of food and went over, and I could tell that day I didn't add potassium to it, and I could tell, I go, man, they have a lot of sodium in this. And so I made sure to add potassium later on that night, quite a bit of it to one of my meals at home. And then the next day when I did the video, I added potassium to the rice and beans prior to filming to combat some of that sodium in that, because I could tell it was just way more than what I would normally eat. And I make my own rice at home and stuff. And, you know, and I could put some pink Himalayan sea salt, some iodine sea salt, and my potassium on it. Right. And it tastes better than all what they do. But yeah, man, you got to get that under control. And that's the key, is you got to cut down. Maybe you cut down to just one meal out a day, but use the potassium with it as well. And then try to get that down to maybe a few times a week. And then maybe it's just once a week you eat out. Right. And that's where balance comes in. And you'll be able to do that for the rest of your life, rather than do that and then get really sick and have to go on a bunch of prescriptions and then tell you, like, you need to make a radical change or you're going to die. That's the choice you make by adding some balance into your life, right? Hello, hello, hello. And with that, guys, we're going to wrap up today's show. I've got to get off this. I got to do a few things before I got to take a phone call here for Feed Me More Nutrition. But I greatly appreciate all the love and support as always. Please check out my Feed Me More Nutrition line available on feedmemore.com. You can save 20% with discount code RYBACKSHOW20. We've got all the Ryback merch and new shirts and everything available over there as well. And again, save 20% with discount code RYBACKSHOW20. And iTunes reviews are greatly, greatly appreciated, my friends. Until next time, stay hungry. Feed me more.
Hey, Rybackers, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe, and shell shock those notifications for the best supplements on the planet with Feed Me More Nutrition and all the latest cool new Ryback merch. Visit feedmemore.com.